Chicago.
He pulls a knife.
Who's the U-boat commander?
You pull a gun.
Hi, dude.
That's nasty. Why?
That's Chet Gearing.
Now, Dustin Kaufman presents the ultimate Chicago movie cage match.
Tell me your children.
Yes, welcome back to the ultimate Chicago movie cage match here on WGN Radio. It's our quest on the best Chicago movie of all time. We started with 64 films, and we let the WGN radio staff vote on the first two rounds. To get us to this point, you call in, you text, you vote online for your favorite. There are seven movies currently in the Elite Eight. About Last Night, Ferris Bueller, Blues Brothers, Adventures in Babysitting, The Untouchables, Risky Business, and Wayne's World. Tonight, the final of the Sweet 16 matchups, it's The Fugitive versus Christmas Vacation. It's the Fugitive franchise versus the Griswolds, Harrison Ford and Tommy Lee Jones versus Chevy Chase and Randy Quaid. It's a thrilling action mystery set in iconic Chicago locations versus a family Christmas get-together that goes so wrong that it is so right. It's just a bummer that one of these films has to go home.
Listen up, ladies and gentlemen. Our fugitive has been on the run for 90 minutes.
Hey, kids. I heard on the news that an airline pilot spotted Santa's sled on its way in from New York.
Oh. You serious, Clark?
I didn't kill my wife. I don't care.
What, dear?
Grace.
Grace. She passed away 30 years ago.
You switched the samples.
Stay calm, people.
Where do you think you're going to put a tree that big? Bend over and I'll show you. You've got a lot of nerve talking to me like that, Griswold.
I wasn't talking to you.
Of every gas station, residence, warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, and doghouse in that area.
This is a full-blown four-alarm holiday emergency here. We're going to press on, and we're going to have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap dance with Danny K. And when Santa squeezes his fat white down that chimney tonight, he's going to find the jolliest bunch of this side of the nut house.
I don't know about the cat, but I sure am enjoying it.
All right, there you go. People forget the Christmas Vacation is, I believe, a rated R film. It has some great swear words in there that always, when beeped out for the TBS versions, lose the effect. 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear from you tonight on why you think either Christmas Vacation or The Fugitive should move on. In studio tonight, repping The Fugitive, Rachel Claff. Rachel, longtime member of the Neo Futurist and the woman behind It Came from the Neo Futurarium, the best stage readings of some of the worst films of the 20th century. Rachel, good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
All right. And Anthony Mosley is here. He's the artistic director of Chicago's Collaboration Theater Company, and he is here to fight for the holiday classic, Christmas Vacation. Anthony, good to see you, buddy.
Great to be here.
All right. So, I asked, we always start here, 312-981-7200. People are already calling in and texting in with their arguments for why one of these films should move on. Rachel, when I sent the email out and said, which film would you want, you were the first to come back with The Fugitive.
Yep,
why?
Yep. I adore this movie. I mean, three words, Tommy Lee Jones. Amazing. And Harrison Ford, too, but really, Tommy Lee Jones drives the movie. When I saw this originally, what is it, 1993? I saw this in college, and then when I moved to Chicago about 3 or 4 years later, I thought, I have to see this again, because now I live here, and now it will make even more sense to me. And I was really struck by how, I mean, the movie holds up. I saw it again to do this.
It really does.
And it still holds. It's an amazing movie, but I was really struck by the detail that goes into the film as a director's Chicago native, went to a CPS high school. I mean, just I've heard people say that, I'm already on the defensive, right? I've heard people say that this panders to Chicago. I would argue that it respects Chicago in the best possible way.
Okay, great. All right, Anthony, you were quick to say Christmas Vacation's my jam. Why you pick Christmas Vacation?
Well, it has become the classic Chicago Christmas story. But upon further glance, you have a treasure chest of cinematic, comedic gold. You have like a 3 degrees of Chevy Chase going on that touches everything from It's a Wonderful Life to Lethal Weapon to Betty Boop. I'll talk about that more. But it's really a Nostradamus-like prophecy about the stumble and fall of the privileged white man. And what better time for that tale
than right now?
Than right now. Never mind the fact that it predicts a black police chief that looks a lot like Eddie Johnson at the end of the film. And, I mean, it's littered with comedic gold that you can't even appreciate back in 89. And now today, it's like, wow.
It's unbelievable to think that that film came out in 1989.
And the lineage of it, starting as a John Hughes short story and essentially launching Cousin Eddie and the Dickies movement.
Mm-hmm. It's a whole movement.
Well, okay, so we're going to get into it. 312-981-7200. So great, because people are already texting in. Says, got to be The Fugitive. Christmas Vacation is a great holiday film. But as you said, The Fugitive is Chicago. Very little of Christmas Vacation was actually made in Chicago. The story and the setting of The Fugitive oozes Chicago beginning then. That's going to be a trouble spot for you, Anthony. The fact that Christmas Vacation, although set here in the Griswolds, and what better way to set than wear a Blackhawk sweater and the Bears hat? That's what they've got him in.
Are they in like they're in Marshall Fields maybe for about 20 seconds?
And he works in the
Hancock
Tower.
You know, a tall building. Sure, the Hancock Tower.
Oh boy, what am I going to do with this one?
Yeah.
But as you peel back the onion, you start to find a code of sorts that really lays out the past and the future of comedy as we know it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's how deep you're going. This is like film study. This is a class. Yeah, you're going to teach us at UCLA.
It was Mae West's last film. She was the original voice of Betty Boop.
Oh, interesting.
Oh.
Okay.
That starts to make a lot of sense.
Bill Murray's brother played the boss. You have Johnny Galecki, who, you know, goes on to his incredible career, and Juliette Lewis. You have Louise Dreyfus.
That's right.
As the next door neighbor, filmed in the home that was the apartment of Lethal Weapon. Now, the home itself was actually the location of Bewitched. Frank Capra's grandson was the assistant director.
Wow, you've gone deep
on this.
So
we have direct lineage to It's a Wonderful Life. And like I said, Hughes, in a short story predicting the fall of a privileged white man in the suburbs that can spend $5,000 on Christmas lights, and he decided to go to the family vacation before he actually earned his bonus.
Wow. Yeah, Anthony says the past and the present of comedy. I would argue the birth and death of comedy in one movie.
Well, you save that part because I think that there will be a lot of people who may agree with you on that. what I want to do here, we'll take a break and we'll come back. And then I want to set up, like, why? Let's go deep on The Fugitive. We just heard an awesome, and the theory that is being thrown out by Anthony is top notch. So Anthony Mosley's here. Rachel Klaff as well. We are doing the Ultimate Chicago Movie Cage Match tonight. The Fugitive versus Christmas Vacation. 312-981-7200. We'll get to your texts and your calls. If you agree with Anthony or you disagree or you want to side with The Fugitive and Rachel, now's the time to get into the conversation here on WGN Radio. Stay with us. The Ultimate Chicago Movie Cage Match rolling on here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. 312-981-7200. Rachel Klaff and Anthony Mosley are in studio as we battle The Fugitive, the overall number one in our tournament, versus Christmas Vacation, the holiday classic, the tradition, the Griswolds, one film that I don't know if there are any other films. Maybe Elf would be the other one that they just put in rotation in those TBS, you know, the TNT marathons. But Christmas Vacation, I've probably seen it 7 times in the last 3.5 weeks.
I'm sorry.
We'll get to that. Let's talk about The Fugitive. Rachel Klaff is here, and she is representing The Fugitive. So first off, this film is based, of course, on the television show, the TV series. But this film, obviously, is much more plot-driven than, say, Christmas Vacation. sorry, Anthony. We'll get to it.
Yeah. Yeah, so we've got Harrison Ford, who he is accused of murdering his wife. And obviously has not done so. He goes on the run, and out of Chicago into North Carolina, but I won't talk about that. And then Tommy Lee Jones, starts pursuing him, and it's really all about this cat and mouse game through most of, I would argue, the best scenes are the pursuits through Chicago.
Absolutely.
Itself.
And I would say what a great line. We heard it in the actual, montage. where he said, I didn't kill my wife. And he's like, I don't care. It's not my job.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a U.S. Marshal.
And it gets brought up again and, and again, that theme of him.
The film, the first 5 minutes of The Fugitive, is credits.
Yeah.
And in the credits, you see everything that leads up to him being, you see the murder. I mean, you don't even really see the murder. It's just kind of, there's
impressionistic, sort of black and white slow-mo. Yeah.
You see the police interrogation. I mean, the credits are still rolling at the beginning, and you see the trial, and he is on the bus in the North Carolina scene, but the idea, he's on the bus when they start the movie.
Yeah, all the exposition takes place.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, it's really just really amazing filmmaking to see the first five, 10 minutes of that film.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the pacing of it, and aided by the music as well, it just never lets up. I mean, revisiting it, I was still had that sort of adrenaline surge of, well, I know what happens. We all know what happens, but I'm going, okay, get out of there! You know? just the absolute relentlessness of the pace is really beautifully done.
If there's a scene that stands out in The Fugitive for you, what is it? What's the scene? Because there's so many great scenes in that, and we'll get to and Christmas Vacation as well. But but for The Fugitive, is there a scene that you're just like, that's what makes the movie?
There are two. If you're going to argue sort of the non-Chicago specific scene, it's the dam scene when Harrison Ford is trapped in the dam, and Tommy Lee Jones encounters him at gunpoint. That's where I didn't kill my wife, I don't care shows up, and then Harrison Ford takes a flying leap off this giant dam, and it's a gorgeous shot, and again holds up. You don't go, well, that looks ridiculous. It's really well done. I would argue that the Chicago scene that I think is the best done is the parade scene, where Harrison Ford, to escape being caught, disappears into the St. Patrick's Day parade crowd, in which you see a shot of Mayor Daley, you see Roland Burris, and again, really specifically done. Just the simple act of him putting that green plastic hat on his head and disappearing into this crowd is so, it's such a nice touch, because he's instantly can't be found.
I would say the other scene I saw that was that I loved, and watching it again with a young Neil Flynn, in the L. They have a classic L scene where he actually encounters the one-armed man, and they have the fight on the L, and there's a gun, and Neil Flynn's a young police officer who's shot in that shot. But it seems like if you're going to be a Chicago movie that has any semblance of winning this thing, you have to have an L scene.
You do. You do. And, you know, speaking as someone who, we all have that moment as Chicagoans, I think. And I would argue maybe this happens with other major cities where things get shot, movies get shot all the time. We all have that moment where we watch something and we go, well, why did they think that was an okay substitute for this, or this isn't really here? Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking about the L scenes where things like ER, movies where they will always go to the Chicago stop because it says Chicago, as if we're not smart enough to figure out where we are. And he doesn't do that. Davis doesn't do that. It's great. Obviously, it's a made up stop, but it is clearly not a fake area, and he does that throughout the movie. These really nice touches of legitimacy of where scenes are.
Here's a great legitimate fact, little nugget that somebody on Facebook pointed out, that the police officers at the beginning of The Fugitive who interrogate him, and they I don't think they show up again because they're CPD and it moves. They're the same police officers that are in The Dark Knight.
No way.
And they're the same police officers that are in another Chicago film. I can't remember which one it is, but point is, they're always playing Chicago police officers.
The same guys.
It's actually, if you remember The Dark Knight, the cops that turned over Harvey Dent was at Twin Acres, and they did the scene that was the same police officer so you're saying it's a one-armed man?
Yes.
Like at the beginning. You're saying she's worth a lot of money? No. Okay, so there you go. That's the argument for The Fugitive. And, okay, so let's 312 says it needs to be The Fugitive that moves on. Christmas Vacation is funny, but I don't really care about the obscure details that Anthony's talking about and the bizarre associations of other classic movies. The Fugitive, all the way. Great actors, great storyline, and fantastic locations. Now, that being said, we are getting a lot for Christmas Vacation, and that is probably because it is almost on its home court, being the Christmas season. But Anthony Mosley, let's talk about Christmas Vacation, a film that is not a slouch. I don't want to act like this is a Cinderella movie. And any other matchup, it definitely would be pushing against a Wayne's World, pushing against an Adventures in Babysitting. Just in this case, it's up against The Fugitive. So Christmas Vacation, this is part of the Christmas or the Vacation, National Lampoon's Vacation, what's it called, franchise that
Dynasty.
They put out. Yeah. So let's talk about it. Christmas Vacation.
Well, First of all, if you're smoking Christmas trees at home today with legal marijuana, you should be pushing for this film big time. This was made for you. At first glance, yeah, you know, it's not the best vacation. But 30 years on the shelf, it has aged very nicely. And I was completely shocked at, like I said, not just the code of Christmas Vacation, but just John Hughes is telling men in the late 80s that you better wake up, fellas. You might have the big house and the station wagon and the perfect family, and you're not happy. It's like a Scrooge. It's a Christmas carol of its time, predicting.
This is pretty good. I've never heard this.
So predict, and so while this film predicts the wake up of privileged white men, The Fugitive is based on a complete fallacy. We all know that white men with money did not get arrested for killing their wives in the 90s. Like, the whole, everything after that, I mean, it was written in the 50s. I mean, it just doesn't hold up. You know, you're not going to get a rich doctor who didn't do it, like, get blamed for doing it.
He just five great lawyers and be out of it.
Yeah, right. Just right.
Wait, no. But how is it a fallacy if he's right off the bat arrested and charged?
No, that would never happen. Like, everyone knows, white men did not get arrested for they killed their wives all the time.
Oh, I see. So you're saying it's a fantasy. It's a fantasy film.
It's a fictional film. It would, no, the concept of it doesn't hold up. But let's talk about
all right, back Christmas to Christmas Vacation. Yeah. We have plenty of time to smear the other one. All right. So the scene at Christmas Vacation has so, you're right, the comedy gold in this. And I just, it has line after line after line that get quoted and quoted and quoted. Is there one scene in Christmas Vacation that you say is what brings the movie together?
Well, I mean, the climax of the film is maybe the greatest final 7 minutes in cinema. You know, Cousin Eddie, Randy Quaid, hit the biggest role he ever played, kidnaps the boss, Mr. Shirley, brings him to his house. Right before this, the squirrel has jumped out of the tree. Now, the squirrel's been in the tree for like 3 weeks since they got the tree. It sends the whole house in panic. The police show up with Mr. Shirley's wife. They're about to arrest the whole family. And Mr. Shirley's like, no, he's the Scrooge. And he says, I was wrong. You know, give these guys a 20%. They all freak out. They go outside. And the uncle drops the match on the sewer, which apparently causes an explosion, which sends the plastic Santa through the air. The plastic Santa that Chevy Chase broke his finger on during filming, through the air in front of the moon, while Aunt May, also known as the original voice of Betty Boop, sings the national anthem. It's the most amazing moment of pride for this country. Like, that should be the music video that they play at baseball when they sing the national anthem. It should be with that. And then she finishes and she says, play ball. Just watch that.
Yeah.
And smoke some weed and watch it again.
There is something to be said about, we kind of referenced it early, but Christmas Vacation is a movie that gets played constantly, and they have sanitized it for your protection. There are a lot of scenes in there, a lot of language, everything that is just yanked out so they can shove it on ABC Family or whatever it is. But when you watch the actual rated R John Hughes film, Chevy Chase, the language he uses and the way it changes the character a little bit. He's a lot more edgier, if you will, in the unedited version.
He's the man on a brink of a nervous breakdown. He has everything he needs to be happy, and he's not. And he can't get out of his own way. And he's not, this time, on a road trip to Europe or to the...
He's in his home, right?
Yeah, he's in his own home, and he still can't do it. And if you just take it one scene at a time, you know, just take it one scene at a time. There's that horrible Marshall Fields thing where they're trying to keep the Christie Brinkley thing alive.
Yeah, right.
It's just horrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bad. Don't watch that. But other than that, one scene, it's like, it's gold because the cast, this, you know, it's like 3 degrees of Christmas Vacation, and you touch Kevin Bacon and everybody else, like Hollywood, like royalty. And at the end of the day, you know, we all need a little laughter about dealing with family at the Christmas time. It's the only Christmas vacation, only Christmas film that really deals with what is actually important today, which is like, how do I have difficult conversations with people everybody, I love? Yeah. How do I find, because we all get a little depressed at Christmas. Yeah. Why is that?
Right.
Even like,
would this be the last, and I don't mean this at any knock at Chevy Chase, but is this the last good Chevy Chase film in his canon? Because I think after that he went into the talk show, he started to go a little off. He never really had that starring role again. Christmas Vacation may have been the last, because Funny for all that stuff was before that.
I think it's when he touched the sun.
That's true. All right, there you go. Anthony Mosley with the argument for Christmas Vacation. Rachel Claff gave us the argument for The Fugitive. One of these films is going to move on. We're going to start tallying the vote and talk about why the other film, right? And this is the fun part, like why the other film shouldn't move on. We'll get into that coming up as well. Before we take the break, Pete, some trivia. I mean, the one thing that we both recognized and is awesome about The Fugitive is that in John Mulaney's stand-up special, The Comeback Kid, at the end of the film, he's talking about how he met Bill Clinton in the Palmer House ballroom with his mom, and he goes, it's the same ballroom where they shot The Fugitive. And then he goes, you know The Fugitive with Dr. Richard Kimmel, and he does the whole plot. And he keeps, as an aside, it's unbelievable comedy. He does a great job of it.
It's great. And a great Walter Jacobson.
And he references Walter Jacobson, too. Because that's another thing, too. Chicago, yeah, The
Pam,
Fugitive.
Zekman?
There are a ton of Chicago actual newscasters at the time that are referenced in The Fugitive.
Yeah. Lester Holt.
Yeah.
None of them seem to have aged a day. It's right. Really amazing.
That's right.
So when I was looking for some trivia, there's always a role where like, oh, you know, this guy was the second choice to be, you know, the star. And this was no different. I hear Alec Baldwin was going to be cast instead of Harrison Ford. I'm like, oh, all right. Then I started digging deeper. Michael Keaton, Andy Garcia, Nick Nolte, Christopher Reeve, Mel Gibson.
They all
Richard
were,
Gere,
yeah,
Al Pacino.
Huge list.
Jeff Bridges, Kevin Costner.
Were they all? Did they all turn it down?
No, they were all considered for.
Because I would think Harrison Ford would be a huge deal.
I feel like Nolte turned it down because he thought he was too old.
I think that was exactly right.
Well, the problem with Christmas Vacation, we had in here Dana Olsen, who's a screenwriter who worked on Laverne and Shirley, and he was a screenwriter who helped with John Hughes on Christmas Vacation. And so he gave us a little intel a couple weeks ago on the show talking about they shot that on the Warner Brothers lot in California. And the shots when he's outside and he's putting together the lights, that is all shaving cream. That is used for
no
the snow.
Way.
There's no snow there, so they're trying to recreate snow in the Midwest at that time.
That's not a problem, Justin. That's actually the magic of filmmaking. And now you can go back and watch this film again with a new lens that Justin and I are giving you, dear audience members.
That's right. All right, so let's keep going. The scenes of Michigan Avenue during prime Christmas shopping are iconic from Christmas Vacation. Nothing beats the humor of Clark in the ladies' lingerie counter, which is what you said was not. Also, Bill Murray's brother is the boss. It's just classic. The Fugitive was based on an actual case of Sam Shepard in Cleveland, Ohio. It's interesting. Vote for Christmas Vacation here, 630. Hard to pick, but how many times do you quote The Fugitive throughout the year? And have people understand the reference compared to Christmas Vacation. That is true. It's very quotable. And so much more here. And also people telling me it's not the Hancock Tower anymore. You have to call it by the address. That's something to do. All right. So we're taking this up to the news, right, Pete? There's no break here. So we got a little bit more time, which is good. 312-981-7200. Move over Tommy Lee Jones and Harrison Ford. My vote is for Christmas Vacation. Well, there you go. See? Christmas Vacation it is. 815 says Christmas Vacation. But I also have Fugitive. So, and
Yeah, the fugitive oozes Chicago. That's the word that's been used a couple times in the text. So it is right now, if you look at the poll that we put up on WGN Radio, the fugitive is leading with probably over 1,000 votes at this point, 55 to 45%. So it's closer than you would think, maybe. But again, I think this speaks to the testament of Christmas Vacation.
People that like Christmas Vacation might be a little slower to cast their vote. They're going to think on it. And they're decoding it right now. They have a piece of cardboard out, and they're going through the scenes, and they're going, yes. And when I said Fugitive is a great film, and you watch it, and you're like, because it was one of the first films other than Blues Brothers that you're like, I know that, I'm there.
Yeah.
And but it just doesn't hold up.
Yeah. Andy Davis, who's the director of that film, I believe he did U.S. Marshals as well, but he did Above the Law, the Steven Seagal film that was a lead-up, and people don't think about that film at all being a Chicago film because Steven Seagal was such a big deal.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you watch that film, there's L, there's jumping off the train, there's all sorts of stuff that's happening very similar to what the future
is. Yeah, he takes it really seriously. Like, right in the first, you know, after the credits sequence, there's a moment where somebody says, you know, the police station at Addison and Western or something, you know, and you know right away that this is not going to be they're going to sweat all the details.
That's right. Yeah. All right. So 312-981-7200. If you want to get your vote in, we're doing this up to the 8:30 break before we go to pregame for the Blackhawks tonight. Anthony Mosley and Rachel Claff are here. We are fighting it out over the Fugitive versus Christmas Vacation. Again, 312-981-7200. Chance to get your vote in. And do it quick because, like I said, we only have about 15, 20 minutes before Blackhawks pregame takes over here on WGN Radio.
I want him dead.
Chicago.
I want him dead.
He pulls a knife.
Who's the U-boat commander?
You pull a gun.
Hi, dude.
That's nasty. Why?
That's Chet, Karen.
Now, Dustin Kaufman presents the ultimate Chicago movie cage match. Bueller.
Tell me your children.
Yes, 312-981-7200. We're continuing our Sweet 16. Tonight, when the victor is revealed, we will have a full Elite Eight. And we will then, coming up a little bit later in the month, we will pick the Elite Eight. We'll go to the Final Four, Final Four to the Final Two, and we will crown the best Chicago movie of all time. Tonight, the number one overall, The Fugitive, taking on in the Sweet 16, the four-seed Christmas Vacation, this coming out of the Wacker division. and I'll tell you how they got here. Christmas Vacation took care of the Michael Mann film, Thief, and which a lot of people talk about, and they really like that film. Mm-hmm. They get mad when they're like, what happened to Thief? And then they get even angrier when they're like, it got beat by Christmas Vacation. got beat in the first round. And then Christmas Vacation easily beat up on Transformers to get to the Sweet 16.
Ah.
And The Fugitive had it pretty easy, beating the Vince Vaughn vehicle Fred Claus in the first round and then destroying Eight Men Out in the second round. So that's where we get to today. Now, the idea here is we flip the script a little bit. Rachel Claff and Anthony Mosley are here representing The Fugitive and Christmas Vacation. Now, the goal here is to tell us why the other film should not move on. We'll start with Rachel. You're repping The Fugitive. So why should Christmas Vacation not move on?
Listen, I don't want to alienate anybody out there because this is not funny. This movie is not funny. More importantly, I mean, we talk about what holds up, what doesn't. That to me is what it is. It's just that the jokes are old and tired, and I'm sort of I rolled so hard today, it was just it was $3.99. I'll never get back. My biggest issue, one of my biggest issues with this film, is Chevy Chase seems miserable. And I can't tell if that's just Chevy Chase because he's always got that air of I'm not really here. I need to be somewhere. But this movie in particular, one scene struck me in particular watching it today. He starts, quote unquote, and I'm air quoting it into the microphone, crying when he sees the lights light up.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cousin Eddie shows up and he turns to, they have a interaction, and Chevy Chase has got like, what do you call it? Like a
glue or something?
Yeah, he's got something under his eyes that does not evaporate. So clearly, for like the entire scene,
the makeup people had to put fake tears on him.
Just put fake tears on the dude. because he, the amount of mugging that is going on, yeah. I just can't. But just,
it's a lot of slapstick in some of the areas where he's falling off of this, the roof, and he's falling off of the thing, and there is a little bit, I think, of dated humor, like we talked about, like you can't see the tan lines, can you, Russ, or the way that he treats the neighbors and some of the montage stuff.
The pacing of it is just, we talked about the pacing of The Fugitive, which is just Fast and Furious from beginning to end. This, there are scenes that you could drive a truck through some of the pausing, and I think this is supposed to be a comedy movie. What's going on? Pick it up. So mostly overall, aside from the you know sort of hack jokes and the checked outedness of the star, I feel like this just doesn't fundamentally represent Chicago. Like I said, there's two scenes tops. You know, and then you've got one. A lot of it is just exterior shots, right?
Yeah, they are.
You don't
they
even
are.
Get no. sort of oh, we are in this building or we're in this space. So to me, it's you know, it's a suburban.
Well,
movie.
that is now, even beyond the suburban, because there are some that'll say, oh, that was shot in the suburbs. This wasn't shot in Chicago at all.
No,
the biggest Achilles heel for this film, and this is what really doomed The Dark Knight, for instance. Mm-hmm. Dark Knight lost to About Last Night, which was an upset earlier. This happened a couple weeks ago. Well, what doomed it wasn't, it was shot in Chicago, set in Gotham City. This one is the other way around, where it's set in Chicago, but it is shot in California and in Colorado. And everybody who loves Christmas Vacation always scratches their head who lives in Chicago when they're going to get the Christmas tree and there are mountains in the background. When you see that at the beginning, you're like, what is happening? Is this where are they at? What is this? Is this another road trip? What's happening?
Are they in Carbondale? What's happening?
Yeah. And that's a big red check mark next to Christmas Vacation. But Anthony doesn't agree. But I think that hurts it to be the best Chicago.
I mean, if you're going to advocate for the quintessential Chicago movie, why on earth would you pick? Put all the other stuff aside. Why would you pick a movie that barely has any Chicago references?
All right.
They were on Colorado State Highway 9, just outside of Silverthorne in Summit County.
I want to dispute the claim that John Hughes doesn't represent a Chicago film. I also, there's a film called The Room.
Oh, God.
Maybe you've heard of it. There's another film called Rocky Horror Picture Show. So cult classics aren't cult classics because they have Harrison Ford overacting simple scenes with his eye. I mean, Harrison Ford's talk about mugging. Chevy Chase is method, okay? He is depressed, playing a depressed man. He was so method, he never got out of it.
No,
he's
really
still stuck in that film because that's how deep it ran. Harrison is like, I mean, if you just look at his close-ups, I just want to be like, what happened to Han Solo? You know, he's like, oh, he's like, he's playing.
You just described that scene where he's looking through the window at the imaginary pool. That's Chevy Chase all over.
So once again, cult classic, and I spent hours going frame by frame looking for the weaknesses of The Fugitive, and about 58 minutes in, there is an ambulance with the letters FDNY.
No.
I swear, look it up, listeners. There is an FDN. Here you are talking about shooting a John Hughes film on a lot in Hollywood when there's an FDNY ambulance in the middle of Fugitive.
I refuse to believe that's possible. They did not shoot in New York.
It doesn't matter because it's in the film, and it's that kind of lack of specificity. Now, when John Hughes and I used whipped cream or shaving cream as snow, we did that, okay, as a Easter egg for the people of the few. The whole film is made for us now. You have to watch it. If you have not seen it in the last 3 years since Black Lives Mattered and Harvey Weinstein fell and you know, what's going on in the world with the white man rage. If you have not seen the film recently, you really shouldn't cast a vote. Or you should just believe me, listener. Hear me now.
Oh my God.
Vote with your ice cream stomach.
Christmas Vacation. 630 says, you're getting down to the nitty gritty. Anyone who watches Christmas Vacation feels like it's Chicago.
minus the mountains. The movie isn't meant to be a documentary. It's meant to give you a feel of the place. 630 says, nothing is more comforting than seeing Clark Griswold in a Bears cap or a Hawks sweater. I live in the South now, and I miss the good old Midwestern folk repping Chicago sports teams. 773 says, I agree, Christmas Vacation is dumb. I vote for The Fugitive. 708 says, Fugitive all the way. Squirrel was not in 773 as an issue with your take on
Squirrel. Yeah, I was going to say, he cuts that tree. Right, their tree down tree. Goes right in.
People are paying attention. They went in. I have five of those texts. They're like, wait. The tree was from the yard. It wasn't out there for 3 weeks. They got the
oh, that's
plot.
Right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for
he
your note.
He could have been. I'll go to bat for Anthony here. It could have been that the squirrel lived in the tree previously.
Yeah.
So he was there for
312. Richard Kimball did not kill his wife. Clark Griswold almost killed his wife and family on multiple occasions.
We were just talking during the break about the eerie similarities now that I'm starting to find that, you know, Randy Quaid is now a fugitive, more or less.
That's right. There are back and forth similarities here.
Harrison Ford and Clark and Chevy Chase both got injured during filming.
Okay, so that's the finger from the Santa lawn ornament. And what was Harrison Ford's
injury? Harrison Ford, what did you say? He hurt his knee?
Hurt his knee, yeah. And he refused to,
He
incorporated the limp into the performance.
Talk about commitment.
And then he had to have knee surgery.
Hmm.
And yes, he was a carpenter, we all know.
301 says Chicago settings and locations, Chicago director, a great story. It's got to be The Fugitive all the way. Christmas Vacation, Griswold, 217 says. Fugitive, a perfect film. It's the best Chicago film, no differentiation. So we're getting so many great texts. And Clark Griswold is not depressed all the way through the movie. He's frustrated because he wants to experience the perfect Christmas with his family. I vote for Christmas Vacation because it made it think it was a classic Chicago one, even though it wasn't filmed here, which is brilliant. Not because of anything Anthony says. He's totally off subject. That's what
Can I just jump in here and argue?
They're right. They're absolutely right. Thank you.
I'll give it to you that Clark Griswold may not be depressed, but I refuse to believe that he actually wants a perfect Christmas for his family. I have never seen a more selfish main character.
Mm.
He is constantly disrespecting and being contemptuous of his family. That's mostly what turned me off right away, was this sort of, why do I like this guy? I don't like this guy.
Anthony's perking up.
Art is supposed to shine a light on our pimples so that we can pop them.
Right.
What? I mean, the art is supposed to critique us, right? We're not all perfect doctors who are on the run for crimes that we clearly didn't commit.
He's not perfect. He's a limp.
You switch the samples.
I mean, he's like the surgeon. I mean, you know, he's like, yeah, you cut, you know, if you were going to kill her, you know, it would not have gone down like that. Oh, you know?
Good stuff all the way around. One of my issues with The Fugitive and Tommy Lee Jones was such a small little thing.
Let's
is
talk.
That Tommy Lee Jones has a southern accent in the film.
Oh,
and
yeah,
you know, outhouse, henhouse, all that kind of stuff. And you're just kind of like, I don't know. He says right at the beginning, I'm here with the state of Illinois, the governor of Illinois, blah, blah. It's just kind of like, couldn't you make that character more Chicago or Illinois?
And my argument would be, it's Tommy Lee Jones. He's going to do what he's going to do.
Right. I read that he improvised more than half of his lines and that they were writing the script on set.
Yeah.
You know, it was like the old Hollywood. We got the old TV show. We got the money. We got the stars. Oh, we'll figure out the script later.
I think we were talking about this, Pete, that in that process that Tommy Lee Jones almost quit or was angry because that was the way they were doing the script, and he thought this was going to be a terrible movie. Everything about it, like they would hand a page to him. He's like, what are we doing here?
I did hear that when it was first screened, that everybody went, no, this is not going to, no.
And weren't there like six editors credited on The Fugitive? Like basically it went through the machine. Like everybody just recut it, recut it.
But
ask the first editor how he feels about the next five. Ask the second. I mean,
yeah, but you say the same thing about Christmas Vacation. That movie was done by John Hughes. He didn't direct it. Do you know the story about this?
No,
what is it?
So the director, I can't remember his name, got really hot for doing these like noir commercials, and New York Times interviewed Stanley Kubrick and said, who's your favorite director right now? And he goes, I don't know, it's the guy that made those noir commercials. That's how he got hired.
Wow.
This film touches Kubrick. It's a Wonderful Life, Bewitched, Caddyshack.
The references to It's a Wonderful Life in this film. That was the only time I snickered was when he, when Clark takes the, what is that, the, I'm losing the word, chainsaw. To the Newell post.
Fix the banner. Yeah.
And
the Newell post.
And I thought, well, that's a metaphor for this whole film.
There is no doubt. I think that when viewed in its PG-13 entirety, meaning it's not cut up for ABC Family or whatever, Christmas Vacation has a great pace. I would disagree in the sense that it is, like you said, the last 10, 15 minutes, when they get from the dinner scene on, it is on. And it's they don't stop.
Fair enough. But that sled ride?
Yeah.
Dear God. How so long true. Is that?
Later, dudes.
and you... In something like Blues Brothers, where you got the car pileup, it's like it's one-upping itself over and over and over. This was just, when is it over? Yeah. When is it over?
Well, it's the little things like that. That's where Christmas Vacation, the little things that are going to get you. Like when they close up on Randy Quaid, Eddie's character, after Clark Griswold goes across and that thing. And they go real close up on him, almost like a string. I don't even know what he goes, bingo.
Yeah.
And you're like, what is that? I'm not
that's
sure if that's...
No, but today, watching it today, that's what made you're like, oh my gosh. Like, how did we miss this stuff back then, you know? Now, the other thing is, you got to remember, there's only 5 days a year that this movie can be watched.
Mm-hmm.
You can't watch it in the summer. December 20th. Through Christmas, you gotta be in.
Is that positive or negative for the film, though?
Well, I mean, it's the sweet spot. It was specifically made to be watched during those 5 years for the last 31 years and the next 131. You know, where The Fugitive is ultimately gonna start to go stale.
Did I hear they're making a remake? They're remaking The Fugitive. The Fugitive has got a Hollywood order right now for a new Fugitive to come out. So,
TV series or a movie?
No, I think it's gonna be a movie.
Yes,
but
why? You don't improve on that.
It's Hollywood.
Well,
cash.
Sure, of course. Yeah, everybody's
they could get the ambulance right.
Anthony Mosley and Rachel Claff. 312-981-7200. We'll take our break. We'll tally the votes, and we'll decide coming back here on WGN Radio. Who moves on, The Fugitive or Christmas Vacation? Stay with us. It is 720 WGN. I am Justin Kaufman, 312-981-7200. In a couple minutes, we're going to give it over to Chris Bowden for the Blackhawks pregame. They're in Vancouver tonight. Going to get another victory and get closer to the, I think they're 4 points out of the wild card right now. So hopefully... we'll get another victory on the West Coast, taking on the Canucks tonight. So Chris Bowden's got your pregame coming up in about 5 minutes. But right now, we're at the Ultimate Chicago Movie Cage Match, the matchup between The Fugitive and Christmas Vacation, which is our last matchup of the first round, right, Pete? This is where we did the Sweet 16 matchups. And just to tell you, here are the 8 movies that are moving on. About Last Night, which was... actually written by Tim Kazurinsky, based on the David Mamet play. Yeah, we've got Ferris Bueller, of course, Blues Brothers, Adventures in Babysitting, The Untouchables, Risky Business, Wayne's World, and the winner tonight, The Fugitive versus Christmas Vacation. Closing arguments here. Why, as you guys have both made compelling arguments, why you should and should not go for each of these films. And right now, it is even Steven on the text tonight. I mean, I probably got 50 texts and it's 25-25. So it shows that you guys are both making very strong arguments. But closing argument for The Fugitive.
I'm going to say, if we're going to look at the best Chicago movie through the lens of which film utilizes Chicago as almost a character in the film and uses it to advance the plot, the characterization, the emotional journey you go on, it has to be The Fugitive. The movie respects Chicago and uses it to its full advantage. And then you put on top of that some stellar acting, an
Academy Award-winning acting.
Award-winning acting. You've got a great score. You've got a really excellent pacing and tone and mood. All of that wrapped up. It's Fugitive far and away.
Quickly, Pete, you had the actors that Tommy Lee Jones beat. Because that was one of the things that he won the Academy Award in whatever year The Fugitive came
93,
out. 93. And there was one of these supporting actors from Schindler's List. There were some other.
Yeah, Refines, Leonardo DiCaprio in What's Eating Gilbert Grape, John Malkovich.
Wow.
In The Line of Fire.
So there you go. So obviously.
So Chicago accent or not.
Tommy Lee.
Stellar work.
I will say, since we're talking about the Hawks, and I don't mean to sway the vote one way or another, you can buy a Hawks jersey with Griswold on the back. You can't with Kimball on the back.
Is that good or bad? I don't know.
I'm getting on TeePublic and I'm making it myself.
There you go. You just go on and get the Kimball, Dr. Kimball on the back of the Blackhawks sweater. All right, what do you got? Closing arguments for Christmas Vacation, Anthony.
Like I said, at first blush, you know, Christmas Vacation is a feel-good Christmas thing. But upon further reflection, there are so many layers to this awesome blossom deep fried onion Christmas extravaganza. Not only is it a 3 degrees of separation from every Hollywood major player studio and film ever, but I think one thing we didn't talk about is the incredible female comedic performances. First of all, you have Beverly D'Angelo.
She's great. Yeah.
Maybe one of the most underrated, hilarious comedic actors of the last 50 years. You have, like I said, Mae Questel, the voice of Betty Boop, mm-hmm. and Olive Oil. Right.
You also have the mom from Everybody Loves Raymond, isn't it?
Doris Roberts.
Doris Roberts.
And you have Diane Ladd. And Doris Roberts was also in Remington Steele.
Okay. I love that this is your closing argument. And you tell us what Dolores
Shameless
Roberts used
pandering to
be.
To the
you
female
have Julia Louise Dreyfus. No, but I mean, really, yeah, I haven't heard about any of the great female actors in Fugitive except for the wonderful Chicago treasure, Sherilyn Bruce, who, you know, if I could have cast her in Christmas Vacation as the chief of police instead of that Eddie Johnson ripoff, I would have. Let me just close with this. I guess, dear listener, close your eyes. This is not about The Fugitive. It's not about Christmas Vacation. It's about you and what Chicago means to you. Mm. Does it mean high tea at the Drake with fancy peanuts? Or does it mean sausage, deep dish pizza, Italian beef dipped?
There it is. Well, The Fugitive moves on. Great, great argument, Anthony, but The Fugitive moves
Can
on.
Can I get another 20 seconds
no,
on that?
No, we're out of time. Anthony Mosley from Clapper Action, Rachel Claff from The Neo-Futurist. Rachel and The Fugitive moves on to the next round.
Congratulations,
very close
Rachel.
Tonight.
Well
Anthony,
played.
Awesome
well
to have you, and you did a great job representing Christmas Vacation.
Thank you. I'd like to get Blues Brothers next year.
There you go. Everybody wants that one, right? All right, that's going to do it tonight. So The Fugitive rounds out the Elite Eight. That's it for us as we are. We'll be back tomorrow night. We got a full show tomorrow night. But right now, the Blackhawks pregame is here. Chris Bowden's got you.